see this line, sir.
Sada nirantar hari guna gao. Sada nirantar hari gun gao, prem bhakti se bhajan sunao. श्याम प्रभु के शरण में आओ, मन मंदिर में दीप जलाओ, मन मंदिर में दीप जलाओ, जीवन नैया पार कराओ, जीवन नैया श्याम प्रभु के शरण में आओ, श्याम प्रभु के शरण में आओ, मन मंदिर मन मंदिर में दीप जलाओ, जीवन नैया पार कराओ, जीवन नैया
सदा निरंतर हरि
से भजन सुना, भजन सुना, भजन सुना। ओम श्री गणेशाय नमः। श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुदेवाय नमः। ॐ श्री रामचन्द्राय नमः।
We're seeing a very famous verse which comes several places in many Puranas. It comes, I told you yesterday, that is Ahalya Draupadi Sita Tara Mandoradi Mandodari Tatha Panchakanya Smare Nityam Mahapataka Nashanam. Who remembers these five kanyas of our Shastras, all your sins will be removed. This is easy translation. Okay, so yesterday we started with Ahalya, very long story of Ahalya. And you know, with regard to all of them, all of these kanyas, if you start doing research, there'll be no end, because you know our Shastras are itself like Sagar. No end to any of them. And so many stories with regard to each one of them. So I decided today we'll see. After this, we have one more class, isn't it? Tomorrow. So today we'll see Tara and Mandodari, because they have very similar circumstances. So two of them together. Tara Mandodari. So is this Tara? Tara is, or was, the wife of Bali. Bali and Sugriva, you know, two brothers were there. Tara. And she was very, very intelligent, very shrewd and astute politician. If you want to really be a politician, study Tara. And if you really see Ramayana, you will feel that Tara is much more intelligent than Bali, her husband. On many occasions, she gave so much of good advice to this Bali, and he never. You know, Bhagwan Shri Ram, in Ramayana, when he shoots Bali, you see that Choppa is there also. Since that thing came up, let me tell you about that. He tells a very important thing to this Bali. After shooting that Bali, Bali had not yet died. He was lying on the ground. And this happens in Kishkindakand. Bali asked to Bhagwan, "Why you shot me? And how you made friends with..." So several questions. Yeah, you made friends with that Sugriv, and you did not make friendship with me. On what basis? I had nothing with you. I mean, we had nothing. My enmity is my own brother. How you came in there? Like that, all sorts of questions he started asking. And Bhagwan Shri Ram says a very nice thing. This shows also the estimation of Ram for Tara. So that's what I'm getting at. Bhagwan Ram is speaking to Bali. So then you'll see Rama's estimation of Tara. Mm-hmm.
Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram. Murtoi Atisay Abhimana, Shri Ram Jai Ram. Nari Sikhavan Karasina Kana, Mama Bhujbal Ashri Tehi Jani, Mara Chahasi Adham Abhimani, Shri Ram Jai.
Bali is on his deathbed and he's dying now. And on that deathbed also, he's still asking questions to Ram. Why you shot me? Like a hunter, you know, hiding behind some, all such questions. But then in his reply, this is one of the lines, Bhagavan's lines. Moor, you dull with it? You see, means foolish. Bhagavan himself. Tohi atisay abhimana. You just full of abhiman. Abhiman, too much? Pride, yeah. And in the same line now. Nari sikhavan karasi na kana. It means to say, the good advice which your wife Tara, Nari, means gave to you, fell on your deaf ears. It means to say you should have listened to Tara. Tara was telling him the right thing, actually. It's amazing. You see, Tulsidas doesn't give any of the details. You have to go back to Valmiki Ramayana. Tara stopped him. So what happened? Sugriv came there and challenged him. There was a plot. Sugriv came there and challenged Bali to fight. This was the plan by Bhagavan Sri Ram, Bali, and Sugriv. You go there. Bhagavan told him, you challenge him to fight. When he comes out, because I cannot go to his city, you know. Bhagavan could not go there. He had taken a vow not to go to anybody's city or palace or whatever. Home. So, you go and challenge him. When he comes out to fight you, I will shoot him. So, Bali comes in a rage, you know, rushing out of that palace and he starts raining blows on the Sugriv. Sugriv managed to escape and came back. Bhagavan did not shoot. That also very funny, nice. Bhagavan did not shoot that Bali. So Sugriv came there very upset. Why? Because Bhagavan set him up. But you did not shoot. You told you'll shoot him and all. So Bhagavan said, but Sugriv, you look so much like Bali. I could not tell who is Bali and who is Sugriv, you know. So Bhagavan gives a mala to Sugriv and sends him back. Reluctantly, Sugriv goes there, you know, looking back to make sure Bhagavan Ram is standing there. Sugriv is biggest coward in whole of Ramayana. If you, whole of Shastras, if you want to see a real coward, that is Sugriv. So he goes there reluctantly, looking back, making sure Ram is there. And he's wearing this mala now. So to distinguish him from Bali. And Bhagavan Ram is praying. I hope Bali is not wearing the same mala this time also. He'll get a second round of beating, yeah. So anyway, he goes there. That second time, Tara stops Bali. When Sugriv made that call, Lalkar, Tara stops Bali and told Valmiki Rani very nicely, Bali, you think, na? Think a little bit. Sugriv, who has been running away from you all his life, suddenly he comes to challenge you? First thing. Second thing, just now he came and got a sound beating. Almost half, in fact, in Valmiki Ramayana, the beating Sugriv got, he was hospitalized for 6 months. After 6 months only he came back. In truth, see Ramayana, Bhagwan Ram passed his hand on Sugriv like that and sent him back next moment. He was okay after that. But in Valmiki Ramayana there, he was hospitalized. So, you think you beat him half to death just now and he has come back? Bali, are, what do you know? You don't know anything about this. Like that, he must have hit her side or something. You don't know. You leave it alone. This is a man's job, you know, fighting and all. And he brushed her aside. And he went there. And within a few moments, he was removed. So Bhagwan Ram is telling her in this verse, Narisi Khavan na Karasina Kana. Karasina Kana means you did not listen to the wise counsel of Tara. So she stopped him at the right time also. You know, she is called as in Valmiki Ramayana, where is that word? In Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, there's a reference of to Tara. She's called as Sarva Bhuta Ritagnya. Sarva Bhuta Ritagnya means one who could understand the language of every creature on the earth. She could hear the crickets screeching in a different way today and know that something is going to happen. This is Tara. Very, very wonderful description of Tara is given. And her astuteness, which derived from such a great, actually, that comes from an enormous amount of awareness. In fact, any human being can do this if we become really aware. And so Tara was like that. And so this is the lesson to be learned from Tara. And that made her a very powerful person. Yeah? The lesson to be learned from Tara is this thing called as awareness, which made her so acutely aware of everything around that she, in fact, long before Bali had heard, she had already heard, and she knew that Bhagwan Ram and Sugriv had formed an alliance. Tara knew before. Bali knew this thing. And Bali is with his mouth open. None the wiser. He doesn't know what is going on. In fact, earlier, because of her political astuteness, she had told to Bali, this is Valmiki Ramayana, please make Sugriva as the crown prince. And again, Bali had brushed her off. Make Sugriva the crown prince, because wherever there is a, you know, some years ago, no, forget that. That was a very sad thing. You will notice that wherever you have throne and kings and brothers and sons and nephews, have you seen the history of this? Just do a little survey of this history, you will see. You always have things like this one undermining that one, the other one overthrowing that one, imprisoning that one, beheading that. Have you seen? Yes. In all kingdoms, across all of history, if you read, you will see. How many kings of England have been beheaded, you know? Wherever it is, England, East, West, anywhere. Kings have always been beheaded, undermined, overthrown, imprisoned, this, that. See, the Mughal rule in India, how many kings were there in prison by their own sons and all? So because of that sort of thing, Tara had advised, you know, if you have to rule this kingdom very peacefully, you please make Sugriva as the crown prince. So there will be some sort of satisfaction in his heart. There will be some sort of contentment in his heart. And that this is what is in her mind. And that will prevent any untoward occurrences, you know, in future and all that kind of thing. He brushed Tara aside again. Vali. Brushed her aside. She's talking nonsense. But in fact, not only that, it went even worse than that. So Vali thought that this Sugriv, this Tara has some love for this Sugriv. He thought his wife maybe has a special eye for this Sugriv. Therefore, she's giving this advice. Such old things. So how clouded his mind was as compared to Tara. He brushed her aside and all. And later on, when he was dying, and it's a Valmiki Rama again, Tulsi, he doesn't give anything. You know, he told Bhagwan Sri Ram, he told Sugriva, and he told Angad on his deathbed, whatever Tara says, now in the end when he's dying, he tells, whatever Tara says, she is always right. You follow exactly. He never followed. But he's telling when he's dying now, you all follow this thing? Exactly. A little bit too late, isn't it? Tara. Her name itself signifies. Tara comes from Sanskrit word tri. Tri means to cross. So she could cross anybody from this side to the other side safely because she sees all the things that are going to be encountered. She knows what will be encountered. She knows how to respond to them. So she could cross you over from this side to that side. Tri. Tri means to cross. Tri also, you know, Tara word, you know, means star also, na? Star. And Tara word also in Hindi means the pupil of the eye. The pupil, the focal point of the eye. So you put those two things together, you'll see how nicely it comes. The star, which is bright, light, brightness and intelligence, they go together. So she should have been the focal point of the rule of Kishkindha, who should have been the focal point, because her very name signifies the focal point. And who should have been given that respect and listened to? Who should have been the focal point of rulership in Kishkindha? She was brushed. So we also have to think in our lives and all. In conducting our life properly, you know, living a very good life, a life that is sadhana oriented, a life that is that has that keeps us focused on our goal. There's somebody, something in that life that is required for us to pay attention to, not just brush it aside. So in our tradition, this is shastras, guru, satsang, that kind of thing, you know. We have to keep, when we brush those things aside, like Bali, we just get shot from behind. We don't even know how we get. So he brushed aside on every occasion. You know, it is this powerful woman, Tara, in fact, you know, when I, long ago, as a youngster, I had read about this thing, long, long time. Tara was my favorite that time, and she's still my favorite. In one of the Ramayana, I don't know which I read long time, I can't tell. In one of the Ramayana, because you know we have so many, 250 Ramayans and all, or more. When she shot Bali, when Rama shot Bali, she became so angry with Rama that she gave him a sharp also. That this same Bali in a future life will kill you. And it is said that same Bali was reborn as that hunter who shot Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So powerful she was that she could give a sharp to Bhagavan also. The power commanded by this Tara. And really that Bali came back as that hunter to shoot Bhagavan when he took avatar in next Kalpa, next Yuga. So, all of this is surrounding this very important thing which I told you previously, and that thing is heightened awareness. The key to this character in our Shastras is heightened awareness. To really characterize Tara, you'll have to use these words. Heightened awareness. There's some movie. Now I forget the name of that movie. All the chicks were seeing. We had all seen also. That warrior. What was that warrior? Some warrior? Peaceful warrior. And in that, that student of that master learned about this thing called as awareness, you know. In all of our shastras and all, you'll see this very important thing talked about. And that thing is called as awareness. Acute. I remember a line I read just last week or the week before. One girl went to a dentist, not dentist, doctor, you know. She had some pain. So he checked her out and all. So she said, I want blonde. Blonde joke it is. He checked her out and the pain. And the doctor said, you have acute appendicitis. She said, hey, doctor, don't get fresh with me. You know. Acute and appendicitis. She couldn't understand either of the words, you know. Anyway, I just remember, I said this acute awareness. That doesn't mean your awareness is cute. Eh? That means very refined awareness. Eh? Subtle. To be aware of all things. And you'll hear me telling in lectures and all. Like for example, if I'm doing this, if you're using your, you know, you're doing, making gestures, you shake your leg, we should be aware. It is the very insignia of human existence. Look here, even a plant is aware which side the light is coming from. You know. Human beings are amazing. The one who could be the most aware in nature, he is so totally oblivious of what is going on around him. Isn't it? We have to, look here, we don't even know which side the breeze is blowing. That plant knows, without eyes and ears and anything, he knows which side light is coming from. So if he's behind a wall, he'll turn and come on this side where the light is coming. And human beings, we know nothing. It's amazing how unaware, unconscious we are. The one who could be the most conscious. That thing is what brought this great awareness, is what brought all this power to. Please be study this thing a little bit. Eh? And this is what we should be doing research on. You know, you go on Google and you're looking for who has the cheapest baigan in town. What silly thing. Instead of looking for some, you know, potent thing. We always, I tell you. And everything is at our fingertips now. Google has. You know the Mughals, they were searching for Shivaji to kill him. Mughals. They wanted to kill Shivaji. You know why they couldn't find him? Because they only had Mughal, not Google. That time they had Google, they would have found him quickly. Anyway. So when we have to do research, spend time in looking for these things, you know, about being aware and conscious and all that kind of thing. And the consequence of being aware means it really makes that being, it gives that being a presence, a presence to grapple with. And that is what should have been done there. But it was never followed by Bali. And so he lost his life with so much of problems he had to suffer and all. So many things he had to suffer because he never listened. And that's why Bhagwan Ram is telling, you never listen to the good counsel of your wife. When I read that line, every wife look at their husband. Wherever I go. That is true. Wherever I go and I think, you heard? After they meet me outside also. And then they tell Swamiji, please tell him again. That is not the meaning, eh? I'm not interpreting like that. That every wife should listen to every husband should listen to their wife or not. We are talking about anybody who is so acutely aware and conscious, they have to be listened to. That is the idea. Huh? You have to say, if you have been around our Guruji, or those who have been around Gurudev, then you will know the vastness of their awareness and consciousness. It's amazing. You know, once we were driving with Puja Guruji in Delhi, Swami Tejo Mayananda, he had just met a certain devotee like 1 week before. That person had just come into the mission. And they had spoken to Guruji and, you know, said that we are in this type of business and we do this for a living and that. They were telling all about their life and all because they had just come in and all. Guruji, I was in that car also. They were driving Guruji for the first time to the airport. And at a certain point in the road, Guruji said, but your business is somewhere here now, isn't it? Because they had described 1 week before that their business is somewhere in that. Do you know when he said those words, that car was exactly in front of that business place. Right where that business, when that car reached there, he asked that question without signboard or anything. That sort of thing happens for a person who is very, very aware. Because awareness is all pervasive. That awareness is all pervasive. So when that information is sought by such a person, that information is all the time available because he's aware of the whole, yes. The more and more we become aware, the more and more our personality tends to identify with the whole cosmos. This is the equation. The equation is, the more we become aware, there's a direct relationship. The more we become aware, the more we become more identified with the whole cosmos. Because the whole cosmos is in the midst of awareness only. So the Tara character is to remind us of this thing. Very, very much aware. And such a person also. Now, I tell you, those of you who have been around Guruji or Gurudev, you know also, when they say something, you better follow that. Don't do something else. That will surely fail. You just do it. About 20 years ago, Swami Tejo Manji I was just there in India. He was first posted me to Noida. Then for some time, I was there in Nepal also. Just, you know, going around from camp to camp and posting here, posting there, and all that sort of thing. He just said one line, you know. Hey, you were born in Trinidad. We don't have any mission there. Why don't you go? I was most skeptical. I knew in my heart that nothing will work. That is the attitude I went with. But there was one other attitude behind my head. If he said, better you go. So it doesn't matter how negative that person is. And this is a proof now. How negative that person is. If he follows the word of such a person, you may be whatever negative and all. But once you follow the word of that person. So Bali, he didn't believe anything Tara said. But if only he had followed that thing. So that mission just sprung up like mushroom there. I'm telling you, I also don't know how that thing came. But people like that, you know, of great awareness and presence. And so sometimes we use other words for that same thing. Great presence of mind. Being at one with oneself. Being at one with, actually if we are at one with oneself, we will be at one with everything. But a great awareness and presence of mind. Oh, it is. And that is one of the things which amazes me about our Pujya Guruji and of course Gurudev also, for those who have, I know many have not seen him, but that same sort of thing. Therefore, when I am around, I think better he doesn't say anything because I'll have to follow now. So Tara represents this great awareness, and that brings an enormous amount of astuteness in her, you know, dealings with life and all that, because she knows, well, this is going to happen, that is going to happen. She tells from before. So she is that one, because of that great awareness, she can cross a person over from the unsafe side onto the safe side, because she just, some people actually have this thing by natural, they don't know, natural instinct and all, those who have developed in previous lives and all, naturally they have, and maybe somewhere they fell off the path and all that kind of thing, but many people are able to tell some things, you know, to be able to judge and see things and predict things very well. But it's all along this line, great awareness. All right, now, Mandodari's story is very similar. Mandodari also advised the Ravan on many occasions, but again, Ravan also. And in Ravan's case and in Bali's case, both, you'll see, what is preventing them from taking that advice? Abhiman. Bhagavan himself is telling, Maha Abhiman, he calls him. Not just simple Abhimani. Maha Abhimani. But Ravan also, that arrogance and Abhiman and all such things, prevent from taking that advice. So, this Mandodari gave sound advice, but Ravan never followed. He also suffered the same fate. Mandodari's name and her story also, Valmiki ji doesn't give much background about Mandodari, unfortunately. So pieces, scraps and bits you'll find everywhere. And so there are so many, many, many stories. But Tulsidas, she calls us Mayatanaya. She was the daughter of Mayadanav. Her mother's name was Hema. Hema was an apsara. After she gave birth to this Maya, of this Mandodari, she went back to... Where is that? Apsaras, they stay in Gandharva Lok or something. Huh? Where they stay? Huh? They stay everywhere. Because she had married this Maya Danav and gave birth to this Mandodari. But this is only one story. One other story, very interesting story, should I tell you? I'm not going to explain, I'll just tell the story. It is said that once that Parvati ji had left Kailash and gone away for a very long time. Bhagwan Shiva took another consort. Her name was Madhura. And she also was Apsara. Madhura. When Parvati ji returned, she realized that this Lord Shiva had all taken another consort. The gods, you know, many of them will take many consorts and all. You'll see that in Puranas and all. And this consort also, at that time, she was pregnant. This Madhura. And if Parvati got angry like anything, they gave one sharp to this Madhura. And she turned into a frog. You see where the frog and princess and all come from? They come from all of these Puranas and all. She turned into a frog. Then, 12 years passed. All these are very fantastic stories, and you can search for what you call symbolism and all that kind of thing. You do that in your time. So, 12 years passed. That Maya Danav came there and asked for a child. Asked Lord Shiva for a child. He was a devotee. Like Ravan was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So Maya Danav also was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So he came there and he asked Lord Shiva, I want a child, you know. So Lord Shiva turned that frog back into a child after 12 years and gave that baby to this Maya Danav. So that is how that baby was called as Mandodari, who was pregnant at the time of the sharp, who now gave birth to a son who became this Meghnad. Meghnad is actually Lord Shiva's son. Like that. All these things, they tie in together and all, you know. When Hanumanji went to Lanka, he killed Akshakumar. You know that? When that Meghnad fired at him, he surrendered himself to that Brahmastra and all. So he surrendered to the Brahmastra. Tulsidasji's reason for that is he surrendered to Brahmastra because he wanted to pay respects to Brahmaji. But according to that story, he surrendered because Meghnad, who was his own son, was firing because Hanumanji is incarnation of Lord Shiva. So he surrendered because of that. So all of these stories are all tied to all, so many strewn everywhere all over the Shastras and all. So one other story is how this Mandodari came, because Maya Danav went there and prayed and all that sort of thing. Anyway, so meaning of this Mandodari literally means Manda Udari. Manda Udari means actually, according to that tradition, whose womb is weak, whose belly is weak also. That would be literal meaning. And the reason why she got that epithet is because of the same story. Because the delivery of that child took such a long time, because 12 years that was still there in that womb. Because the womb is able to produce a baby only after that long time. You know, one other story is there, Mandodari is the mother of Sita also. There's a story in Puranas where Ravan, he had taken out the blood of rishis, you know, and kept it in a pot. And Mandodari consumed that blood and conceived this Sita. And to hide it from Ravan, she deposited that Sita in that Janakpur. And Janak Maharaj, while plowing that land, he found Sita. So all such stories are there. But anyway, now, I'm telling you the wisdom of the two women, Mandodari and Tara, who are of great, great, great astuteness in this matters of state, and who could have seen, you know, one more thing. A person who is highly aware is also very objective, and a very objective person can see things always more clearly than a person who has some selfish ties to what is going on. So she advised the Ravan, give back the Sita. You have brought to, you know, our Vibhishan also told, you have brought death to Lanka. By bringing Sita here, you have brought death to Lanka. Mandodari also told, you know, when he was about to kill Sita, Mandodari told, no, you can't kill her. She was the one who stopped. And she advised also, you should give back. But Ravan will not hear any of it. Usually, it is misinterpreted that they were jealous wives. And so they gave that advice, both of them. But they were very, very objective. And they could see through all the selfishness and all the desires and things of both of them, of their husband. But the husband also will not pay attention. So, Ravan did not listen. Mandodari gave sound advice, and Ravan suffered the consequences of those transgressions and all. So, two very, very wonderful women who they are called as Ayonija. Ayonija. Tara is said to have been the daughter of Sushen, Dr. Sushen. Who was the doctor who came to save? Lakshmana. But that is only one of the stories. In all of these Panchakanya, some of them are called as Ayonija. Ahalya, who we saw yesterday also, along with Tara and Mandodari, they are said to be Ayonija, means they were not born from mother. Earthly mother, like we are born from earthly mother. And so that gives them special status. Whereas Sitaji herself would have been born from earthly mother, who is Mandodari, who was living on earth. Ayonija, Sambhava. So, they have some divine origin. Like Mandodari would have been Apsara, born on the earth. Now, the moment we say that they have some divine origin, that means to say that some sort of guidance for our life can be gotten from them. So, and like every other thing, you know, life is what's called Mishra. Mishra means mixed up with positive and negative. And when we take the positive things and we leave the negative. Now, all of life is like that. You know, anything you are following, I tell you, Shankaracharya used to have his disciples behind him, you know. All his disciples, Totakacharya and all that you've seen. Sureshwaracharya. So one of his disciples, no, I don't remember which one of them it was, used to imitate the guru. If the guru laugh, ha, 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 he used to also laugh. Ha, ha, ha. The guru, you know, when they're crossing a river, if the guru stepped on this stone and that stone and that stone, he used to walk on the same stone. He'll not find any other stone to walk on. So that type of copycat thing, that is not good. We are supposed to discriminate for ourselves and choose what has to be emulated and what not has to be, has not to be emulated like that. So Shankaracharya realized that this disciple, every time he's only doing whatever I'm doing, he's doing. If I fast today, he's fasting. I drink one glass of water, he's drinking one glass of water. So at one point, they were passing through a village, and there was a blacksmith who had molten iron, molten steel in a container. And when they reached in front of the blacksmith's shop, Shankaracharya suddenly stopped. And he walked into that shop. And he took something and dipped in that molten steel. And he had a glass of it. He drank. And that disciple watched. And then Shankaracharya. He said, I mean, he got the message, you know. Very subtle message. No, well, actually, this is not very subtle, it's very gross also. But he knew. The guru is telling me something, you know. Just don't follow copycat like that. We are supposed to discriminate and think. And this is a very important thing. If there is something good, we emulate. And we say we don't imitate. We emulate. So there's something good in Tara, there's something good in Mandodari, there's, you know, like that. Then, and at the time, you see, if Tulsidas is mentioned also, and Trodi Shastra is mentioned. After Bali died, Sugriv took Tara as his wife also. But that was the practice at the time. In fact, actually, that has very great social benefit, really. That was the practice of the time. The social benefit means what? In many societies, in many traditions, widows, they become like non-persons. You know? They're just relegated to the fringes of existence. And they become like nobodies. So the people at the time would have brought this practice to prevent that sort of thing that was prevalent. So Vibhishan also. Vibhishan, Mandodari, and I see that was the same period. Tara and Sugriv. In fact, in that Tara Sugriv thing, it is said that at one time, long ago, and there's another story that Tara had come from Milky Ocean only. When they were? Chirani gods were on one side, Asuras were on the other side. So when the gods were on this side, Bali and Sugriv had also come to help them. And when Tara came out from that Milky Ocean, they gave Tara to Bali and Sugriv. And they had a great big fight at one time for Tara. That is why Bali had suspected, you know, that you should make Sugriv a crown prince. Oh, it's so many stories. I don't know where it will end and all. So, anyway, in that story, Tara had come out from that Milky Ocean. And now, that also makes sense that Sugriv would have been happy to get married to Tara also, because they had a big fight for her at one time. And now, when Bhagwan Shri Ram made this agreement with Sugriv, okay, I will help you to kill Bali, but then you have to help me to find Sita. In Valmiki Ramayana, when Sugriv forgot his end of the bargain, Tulsi Ramayana also he forgets, huh? Both places. He even not paying any attention. You know, in Valmiki Ramayana, when he sends Lakshmana to go and, you know, remind this Sugriv, and Lakshmana likes this type of thing, you know. you go and it's a reminder to Sugriv, you know, he has to fulfill my end of the bargain. That time, it is because Sugriv was enjoying the company of Tara and he had forgotten in Valmiki Ramayana. He was so enamored by Tara. So, why I brought up all of this is because sometimes when if you read, you will be prone to judging Tara or Mandodari or whoever it is according to the standards which you are living today. But you can't do that. You have to see what the practice was and what the tradition was and the standards were at that time. So and the circumstances. So the practice at that time was very clearly, both in the case of Mandodari or Tara, the practice was that when that brother dies, that other brother will take that widow as his own wife. And I told you to prevent some social, ostracization and all that, to put that person out. And you know, in some societies, still those things are practiced today. Widows, they become like nobody after that. So, now, when you read today and you study today, you just take all the great points which are there, and those things which you don't understand is because it belonged to a different time and all. So the greatness of Tara's awareness and Mandodari's awareness and their objectivity in giving good advice and counsel to their husbands. It is amazing. And so we should value this, and this is where the value teaching comes. We should value the advice of anybody who is highly aware, highly vigilant, who is really at one with himself and at one with all things around. And when we say we value it, means what? We should try to develop that quality. And that quality brings all the other astuteness and brings all the other soundness of judgment and objectivity and all such things which are so valued by society. Because when somebody is objective, society values that thing, you see. But that will only come when I am really much, very much aware. It means to say, in making a decision, I will be able to coalesce in my mind a number of factors which an ordinary person will not see. You'll only see one or two factors. And you'll make a decision based on that. And usually those factors are things which are suiting to himself. Even Gandhiji tried to teach this thing in very, very simple language and all. But people don't want to try to be objective and all. The objectivity of Gandhiji was amazing. One of his great attempts in life was always to put your foot in the shoe of the other person and see from his side. Strived very hard to do that. And that brings, now you see, you have to expand your awareness from seeing it only on your side to be able to see it from that side. So go on expanding awareness to see from the other person's side also. So they were highly aware and were able to do this. So Tara, the star of these Pancha Kanya, and Mandodari, that one who was able to also see the greatest king of the time. That means Ravan, means most powerful person who had all gods, including Indra, the gods of the heaven. How powerful Ravan was, but still Mandodari could tell him the correct thing. Isn't it? That power and all those things doesn't give that person any special knowledge to do what is right, as opposed to what is wrong. But the objectivity and awareness of Mandodari was supremely amazing, just like our Tara. So these two characters, Mandodari and Tara, have similar fate in terms of who they get married after their husband died. Both become widows, both their husband never listened to them, both because of that lost their husband and all. And both have some divine origin, like that. One being Apsara. And this Tara, we say she is the daughter of Sushena, but there are many other stories where she's also of. And when we say she's the daughter of Sushena in Valmiki Ramayana, it doesn't say clearly who is the mother. But other stories in Puranas and all tell that she is also at one place, Tara's origin is given as daughter of Brahmaji. I can't remember now. Of Brahmaji himself, you know, in one of the stories. And all. That I'll have to again check. But she is under the list of Ayonija. She's not born from a regular mother like all the others. All right. So these two characters. Now we have Sitaji left. Sita, sometimes Kunti is replaced. Replaces Sita. And we have Draupadi. Draupadi is all symbolism, actually. More symbolism than historical also, but also highly symbolic. That we will see tomorrow. Now today evening we have satsang also. That is 7 to 8:30. And this is just satsang. We'll have bhajans, kirtans, maybe a little talk in between or something. We'll sing. If you want, you can dance also. All right. Let us sing a little bit now.
Hey.
Is anybody who has questions also, you want to write them down, I can also deal with them during these few days. I can